الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we're talking about monitoring the effect of our ibadat, and we were looking at Salah yesterday as the primary ibadah and what Salah does, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. I want to remind myself and you about some other aspects of Salah which are equally important. The first and foremost of its is the fact that Salah does and should bring about humility. It must bring about tawadhu in the person. Because the very fact of Salah is that the most akram part of the body, the most noble part of the body, which is the face, is put on the ground before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the reasons why sajda is haram to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being a very special position as ashraful makhlukat, and Allah has done ikram of the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ennobled the human being, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu does not want the human being to humiliate himself, to humble himself, to put himself down before another creature. So the only one the human being is authorized to and ordered to humble himself before is his creator, not any creature. And that's why also the face, for example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam permitted some form of punishment for various things, he said specifically, he said, do not hit on the face. Because the face has a very special position. So you do not hit a person on the face, you hit on the side, on the back, and so forth. You wear, and I'm not recommending hitting anybody. I'm saying that even if you have to do that, but not on the face. The face has got this special position. But that face is put on the ground before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in the position of sujood, where specifically the forehead and the nose has to touch the ground. So you're actually putting the face on the ground. Now this is to inculcate humility and humbleness in the individual, to break the ego and make yourself to remind yourself that you are nothing. Even your most noble part of your body is on the earth, it's on the face, on the ground before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If ibadah does not produce humility, and if ibadah produces arrogance, then we also know what happened to the one whose ibadah produced arrogance in him. There is only one we know whose ibadat were praised, whose ibadat were superior, who had a lot of ibadat to his credit, but this ibadat did not produce humility, it produced arrogance. And we know what happened to that one, and that is Iblis. Iblis's ibadat produced arrogance in him. He says, I am so much, I have done so much ibadat, I have got this position. And that arrogance led him to Jahannam. So ibadah alone does not save us from Jahannam. It is the effect of the ibadah, if the effect is the right effect. If ibadah is producing arrogance, and unfortunately we see that in some people, may Allah save us and not make us like them, where their ibadah produces arrogance. Because they pray five times a day, because they are religious, and because they outwardly have the appearance of being religious, this produces arrogance in the people, and they look down upon others as if, and especially if the other person is, according to them, not as pious as they are, then they look down upon them, they talk to them with arrogance. These are all sifat, and these are all qualities of shaitan. Ibadah is not supposed to produce, ibadah is supposed to produce the opposite of that, is more and more humility. The more you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more humble you become. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, we will raise your station. We will raise your mention. So the one who humbles himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his station in the world. And the one who preens and who is vain before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate him and will destroy him like he did shaitan. So that is the effect of Salah, which we should think about. The other effect of Salah is the entire process of purification. When we go, when we make wudu and we come into the masjid, and we are conscious that we should be wearing clean clothes and that we should put some perfume wherever possible, and so on and so forth. So all of these things also must direct our attention to the importance of purification of the entire self. It's not only purification of clothes, it is the purification also of the heart, it is the purification of the mind. When we are going for salah, ibadah reminds us about the importance of purification. So that's the second effect of our salah that we should monitor. First effect is, am I humble? Second effect is, what is the level of my purity? Because if I am praying 5 times a day, and then my heart is filled with hatred and with envy and with jealousy and with all kinds of things, then obviously that salah is not having any effect on me. Even though I am purifying myself 5 times a day and I am praying 5 times a day, but the effect of the salah is not there. Third effect of the salah is the symbol and the message of equality of everybody. We all stand in one saf, shoulder to shoulder. Whoever you might be, you are rich, you are poor, or you are a king or a commoner, there are no reserved places in the masajid for anyone. There is no special place for a person which is kept vacant for him. If that is happening in a masjid, then this is against Islam. There is no such thing. Including the position of the imam. If the actual imam of the masjid is not there, then any of the others is entitled to lead the salah. The only consideration is you see whoever knows the most Quran, and that is not something that you don't conduct a test at that point in time. Whoever is known to know more Quran is allowed to lead salah. So it is not even the imam's position. Even though if the imam is there, you give the honor to the imam and you leave the place for him and he will lead salah. But if the imam is not there for some reason, the salah is not delayed because the imam is not there. The salah has to be done at its correct time. But if the imam is there, alhamdulillah, if the imam is not there, somebody else will lead the salah. So the issue of equality before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are praying regularly, but we find that we treat people without equality, that we look down on people, that we are arrogant with people, then the effect of salah is not there. So we need to look at ourselves and say, am I monitoring myself and saying, is my salah having the effect that it is supposed to have? So, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar, meaning salah must protect us and must keep us away from all forms of sins and from all forms of munkarat, which all forms of disobedience and rebelliousness with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah must produce humbleness and humility in the individual and must remove completely our arrogance and break our ego. The ego must not be there. The third thing is that salah must include and induce purity in us, purity of the external self and purity internally, which is the purity of the heart and the mind, the kinds of thoughts that we think, the kinds of feelings that we have in our hearts. This is something that we must be clear about. And then the issue of equality before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, where all of us stand together in one saf without any difference based on anything at all. Every Muslim is equal in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody has any superiority over anybody else. And this is the message that the salah is giving us. And therefore, all of these things we need to monitor and say, is my ibadah having the effect that it is supposed to have? Now just think about this. If we can, this is just the salah, nothing else. And alhamdulillah, bismillahi ta'ala, Allah has given us the tawfiq and Allah has given us the facilities and the availability. Alhamdulillah, we are able to pray, illa mashallah, all the 5 salawat, alhamdulillah, in the masjid. But if this does not produce the effect in us, in terms of our behavior, in terms of our demeanor, in terms of our actions, then it's a tragedy. Because after getting this ni'mah of being able to pray 5 times salah in the masjid, if the effect of the salah is not there, then it makes no sense. We are just going and coming, and it's, doesn't make any sense. So that is why it's very important, I thought, to remind myself and you, that let us monitor ourselves and say, is the ibadah having the effect that it is supposed to have? Inshallah, tomorrow and so on, we'll talk about fasting and everything else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to obey Him and to fill our lives with the nur and barakah of His obedience and to save us from disobedience and never to be displeased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.